Father God, help open our hearts afresh this morning as we come to look at your word. Nurture us as we listen to it, as we reflect on it, so that together we may grow in faith and discipleship, equipped to serve you here in Morton and beyond. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Do you take a seat? Well, the schools, they're about to break up, and we have long weeks of summer stretching ahead of us, endless hours in which to keep youngsters with boundless energy, amused and productive. If we don't have children, as the school holidays approach, even we have a sense that things are beginning to wind down. We're beginning to chill out. Things are changing down a gear. Here at Christchurch, various activities, they're going to close down, as Phil said, for the summer, so that our leaders and our members, they can take a break and gather strength, so that they can return with renewed vigour in the autumn. Now, I don't know what your plans are, but whether your plans are to go away or whether you're going to stay at home and have days out, we all see the summer, don't we, as a break from the normal routine. Maybe for some of us, it's time to take a breath, to get off that hectic treadmill of daily life with all its stresses and strains and endless pressures. For others, well, life's going to be pretty much as it always has been, but hopefully with a bit more sunshine. But wherever we do, whatever we do over these summer weeks, we tick our checkbox. And thank you again to Christopher for reminding me I need to take my tickets with us. Whatever we do over these summer weeks, it is important that what we don't do is take time away from God. In fact, this is now the perfect time to do exactly the opposite, because the best way to get off the treadmill of life's incessant demands is actually to take time out with God, to schedule that in. Many times in the Gospels we read that Jesus, he goes away to a quiet place, often to pray right through the night, so that when he returns in the morning, when he resurfaces, as it were, he is refreshed, ready to heal, to perform miracles, to preach, to teach the multitudes. Now, we've said it a number of times over the past year or so, that if we believe and trust in Jesus, then we are a disciple. And a disciple is more than simply a student, someone who gathers knowledge, who learns how to do stuff. A disciple is a person whose sole aim is to become like the teacher. Now, if Jesus, who was the most productive person who ever walked this earth, needed to take time out so that he was able to do everything that God intended for him to do, there is probably something in there for us to learn from. So this morning, we are going to take a look at how we can make this summer a productive one in terms of our discipleship. And if and when we pack the holiday suitcases, let's remember to take Jesus with us. Whether that is down to the beach, whether it's in the back garden, whether it's off to some exotic location. Let's not leave him at home with all the other daily routines that we are so eager to escape from. But before we do that, we are going to hear from the Bible, and I think Claire is going to come and read to us from Paul's letter to the Philippians.
This morning's reading is taken from Philippians 4. Verses 4 to 13, and can be found on page 1180 in your pew Bibles. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Claire. So you mentioned the word summer, and most of us begin to think about packing up and getting away. We might be going for days to the beach. We might be just going into the countryside. We might be looking forward to sitting around the pool and sipping drinks, or simply unwinding at home. Anything, as I said, that's going to take us away from the normal routine. But all too often, we can find ourselves, even if subconsciously, thinking that this also means a break away from church, and in consequence, away from Jesus. Now, perhaps we rationalise it by saying, well, it's okay, I'm on holiday, as if somehow Jesus isn't Lord, even when we're away. Holidays can be about letting our guard down and everything else with it. Holidays, time off, days out, these are all wonderful gifts from God. He's the one, after all, who's given us the Sabbath day of rest, a day in which we can give our minds and our bodies a little break from the stresses and strains of every day. But the purpose of the Sabbath was so that we could then give God our undivided attention, so that we could learn from him, so that we could grow in him, not simply zone the world out. To my mind, a good holiday is going to include four major components. We're going to have relaxation. We're going to have keeping in touch with those back home, even if it's only to gloat. It's going to include reading the guidebooks so that we know something about the place that we're going to. And, of course, bringing back souvenirs so that we can keep those holiday memories alive. So that's what we're going to think about this morning. And I'm going to start with what I always hope is going to be the chief outcome of any holiday: relaxation. One of the major benefits of taking a holiday or any kind of breakaway is that it's that feeling of contentment that a good rest can provide. But if you were a little bit of background to the letter that we heard read to us by Claire this morning, the letter to the Philippians, Paul is actually writing that letter from prison. He is under sentence of death. His life is in the balance. And he's writing to this church back in Philippi, who themselves are beginning to suffer a little because those who don't follow Christ are persecuting them. There's a little bit of aggravation there. And even within their own ranks, there's a little bit of unrest, a little bit of discord creeping in. So that's the kind of background to this church, to this letter. So Paul, in prison, with his life in the balance, he tells us that he knows where the true source of contentment lies. So he says it in verse 12. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want, I can do this through him who gives me strength. To Paul, contentment is that inner sense of peace that comes from being at right with God. That's that knowing that God is in control of everything, no matter what. Now you might say, well, how do we foster that kind of contentment? We're thinking about holidays. Now, when you think about people on holiday, you probably don't think of people who are dressed very somberly, who have long, straight faces, who don't want to do anything that you deem might be fun. You probably think of some, you know, family a little bit more like this, because having fun is the order of the day. Holidays are for relaxing, therefore letting your hair down, therefore shaking off the drudgery of our everyday lives, for getting away from it all. Now, I'm sure that Paul would agree. I don't know whether they took holidays in the same way there, but I'm pretty certain that what Paul would actually say is, why wait for a holiday? We read in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. See, for Paul, the mark of a Christian is joy. Long-standing, abiding, unquenchable joy. Now, that's not the sort of rejoicing that comes when we go, yay, you've got 2 weeks away. That's the kind of jolliness that the second you sit at your desk and you open up your email, you see all the hundreds of unanswered messages that have come in. That just dissipates, that goes. Paul's not thinking of a temporary respite, a kind of pleasant glow that fades with time. He's thinking of the joy that wells up from deep within, that is with us through any and every kind of circumstance. And that kind of joy, it doesn't come naturally to us, because our emotional temperature tends to be driven by the circumstances in which we find ourselves. And when things are going well, when they're going our way, then it's easy to find contentment and happiness. But when the going gets tough, we understandably struggle much more to stay positive and uplifted. Now, in his writing to the church at Philippi, Paul wants them to remember what they have to be joyful about. As I said, things are pretty tough for them as they write. They're facing a growing opposition from those who don't follow Christ, and there's a little bit of unrest and squabbling within their own ranks. But Paul knows that they are on the right track. Their love for Jesus and for one another, it's evident to everybody who meets them. And so Paul reminds them to hold on to the truth, and by digging deeper into its vast resources, to find that power to rejoice just as he has. Just as he has, even though he's in prison. That joyfulness that knows that Christ is always near. As I said, that kind of joyfulness doesn't come naturally to us, because we tend to react to whatever situation we find ourselves in. And we can only acquire that kind of joyfulness if we first have total confidence and trust in the Lord who sustains us in all things. And the summer provides us with a great opportunity to strengthen those resources, to build up confidence by spending more of our downtime developing or rekindling habits that will strengthen our relationship with Jesus and carry us forward, not just to the autumn, but beyond. And one of the primary ways that we do that is by keeping in touch. When we are away on holiday, keeping in touch used to mean dropping someone a postcard. Anybody still send postcards today? Oh, a few. It's more likely, though, that we'll stay in touch by texting someone or sharing what we're doing through social media. My daughter headed off to Spain for 2 weeks rock climbing on Thursday, and we dropped her off at the bus station about 11 o'clock in the evening at Liverpool One. She was heading over to Manchester Airport. She was going to meet up with her friends, and then we're going to go off climbing. We got back home. Took us about 25 minutes to get back home. I looked at my phone, and she had already tweeted 3 times to tell people she was on her way and she was getting ready, to let them know that she was watching The Sound of Music on her phone. Apparently that was going to put her in the mood for climbing in Spain. Already she wanted the world to know she was on holiday. But if we can be concerned about letting people know, keeping in touch when we're on holiday, letting people know what we're up to and keeping in touch with people back home, then there's absolutely no reason to imagine that the Lord isn't interested too. But if we think about it, postcards, texts and tweets, they aren't really the best way of communicating with someone, are they? You don't get to know someone well through those kinds of media. You get to know someone by spending time with them, listening to what they have to say, learning what makes them tick. And that's going to take a little bit more effort than the usual forms of holiday communication. Now, I know that family holidays, they're not always restful and stress-free. A change in routine can actually be quite disconcerting for our young ones. But there will nonetheless be times of peace and quiet, hopefully, amongst all the holiday mayhem. In writing to the church in Philippi, Paul advises them in verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." In terms of deepening our discipleship this summer, keeping in touch is about taking the opportunity to develop new habits, to maybe reintroduce patterns of behaviour that might have kind of slipped by the by as we got preoccupied with all the busyness of life. If we don't already do it, then the summer is the ideal time to begin to focus on developing a daily pattern of reading our Bible and praying. Now, we are all different. So the amount of time that it's going to take any one of us to develop a pattern of behavior that's going to become a habit is going to be different. It depends on our personality, on how we learn. But it is true to say that the more we do something, the more it will become instinctive to us. So if we take our Bibles away when we go, or if we're staying at home, if we read a small portion of our Bible every day, followed by a time of prayer, if we do that when we're on holiday, when all those pressures are a little bit eased, then there's more chance that that will become an instinctive pattern when we're back in the real world. And start small. Spend 10 or 15 minutes reading your Bible and praying. And then build that up gradually until we find that pattern, that place that it's best for us to engage with God's word and to be led in prayer. Now, I know how difficult this can be. We all get so busy doing stuff, even Christian stuff, that our time with God can become squeezed, often to the point of not happening at all. So summer's change of pace is the perfect opportunity to re-engage with this vital part of our journey in discipleship. I mean, if you think about it, when you spend time with a friend, listening to them, talking to them, really getting to know them, you're not doing it because you have to, you're doing it because you want to. And time never seems to be an issue. Well, if we want to be friends with Jesus, if we want to learn from him, grow in him, then we should treat him the same way. And Bible reading followed by prayer is a good habit to form, because then we can let what we've read actually guide and direct our thoughts and our prayers. So it takes us through praise and worship. Maybe it reveals something that we need to change, that we need to be sorry for. So it might take us through a bit of confession. It'll bring us on to giving thanks for all that Jesus has done, and it'll bring us through to praying for our own needs and the needs of others. Now, there are lots and lots of resources out there. The Christian Bookshop, it has lots of Bible study notes. They can usually take you through a pattern of guided Bible reading 3 months at a time. If you can't get to the bookshop, they're online, or you can ring them up, and they will post anything out to you. You might even have it personally delivered to you by a member of our church who's a volunteer in the bookshop. There are also plenty of resources online. If in your Watson, you should have found a little card that looks like this. And on the back of it, there are a number of resources that help you to keep in touch over the holiday period. There's examples of Bible, daily Bible studies and prayer, and I can recommend to you Word Live from Scripture Union, which gives you a pattern of Scripture, some background, leads you in prayer. Or the Church of England themselves, they have a daily prayer app, and they also have a Time to Pray, both apps that you can download for your phone or use on your mobile or on a computer. If you're going to be anywhere where there's Wi-Fi over the summer, make use of those kinds of resources that will just keep you in touch with the Lord. Because when we spend time, when we spend time with the Lord, listening to what he has to say to us, and then praying through what he wants for us to know about him and learn through him, then we can begin to actually grow in our discipleship as we discover that he is utterly trustworthy. And even though when we pray to him, we might not find that our prayers are answered exactly the way that we have phrased them, we actually discover that the peace of God becomes part of our prayer time, because as we learn to pray, we discover God's faithfulness, and we know that he knows so much better than we do. We can learn to trust him. He will always honour the time that we spend with him. And he will shape our hearts and our minds, making them more in tune with his own, actually turning us into the disciples that are more like Jesus. And we read that in verse 7. So as we're praying, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So we've looked at developing patterns. We've looked at keeping in touch. Another thing that I always do when I go on holiday is I read the guidebooks so that I can make the most of new experiences and new places. The world that we live in, it is an amazing place. Now, wherever we are, whether we're here in this country, whether we're abroad, don't just let it all wash over you. Actually use the opportunities presented by beautiful countryside, by seascapes, by new people, new cultures, buildings, museums, all of these things. Be amazed at the creativity and the generosity of our great God. Actually engage with the local culture and let that inform your prayers. The bookstall is here for a final time this week. You could always take something away from the bookstall. I've got a couple of examples here. There's a short book, Jesus, Right Where You Want Him. This is engaging with all those questions that we have, and how does Jesus fit in and provide us with some answers. It's quite a short book, so you could easily pack it in your suitcase. And it might just help you think and engage with a few things over the holidays. Or you could, it's a few of these gospels, so you could take a gospel away on holiday. You could read it, and then you could give it away at the end of your holiday. They're only 50p, so you could take one of these, read it, give it away, leave it in your hotel room. And then there's one of these little magazines, they're called mini zines, I think. Again, it's just something you could read down on the beach. And this one is actually about contentment. This is actually about money and Christians. So again, something you could read and leave behind. Just because we're away on holiday, it doesn't mean to say we can't be intentional about spending time with God, about building our discipleship, even on holiday. And so we had in verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Being a disciple is something that we are all the time, even on holiday. And that's going to present us with a whole new set of opportunities to live out the gospel. And that brings me to my final point, which is souvenirs. Souvenirs are the things in this context that remind us of God's goodness. The things that we are going to take away with us and bring back with us that are going to help us pull up that joyfulness that Paul talks about. Bring it more easily to the surface when we're back home. Souvenirs are all about memories. And when we go away, taking Jesus with us, we're not going to forget about the people back home, because our love and our concern for them is going to continue, whether we're with them or we're not. Just as Paul and the Philippian church, they had concern for one another. They kept in touch and they prayed for one another. If you aren't already signed up to the parish diary, then you can do so. There are a few printed copies, but you can join the email group. And then you can hold the church family and the various ministries that are going on back here in Christchurch in your prayers each day. Whether you're staying at home or whether you're going away, you can be thinking about others who are away on holiday. And particularly I'm thinking about our young people. MCYC, the Merseyside Christian Youth Camps, they're going on all over the summer. Members of this congregation, they go over and they help their leaders, so we can be praying for them and for their witness. We can be praying for the young people that they encounter Jesus in a very real way over this summer, and that grows for them. So we can be praying with them. And again, all those kinds of resources, they're on the back. So if you wanted to join their, sign up to their Twitter feed for MCY, so you can find out prayer requests and things there. If you're away, then one of the great things that we can do, both to be encouraged ourselves in our discipleship, but to encourage other people, is actually to go and worship in a local community. Now, if you're holidaying in this country, it's very easy to do that, because the Church of England, they have a website called A Church Near You. So you just plug in the town or the postal code where you're going, and they'll give you a list of all the churches in the area so that you can go and join them. If you're in Europe, again, on the back of the postcard, there's a few hints. There's a website that gives you some English-speaking communities. So they're not all there, but it might be a start. You might find something near to where you are. If you can't find a community that worships, then again, you can always use those Church of England daily prayer resources that I mentioned, and you could either use them as a family or you could use them on your own. All of these things, they are actually about building us up as disciples, remembering that Jesus goes with us wherever we are. He wants us to make the most of every opportunity. He wants to build us and strengthen us. They're all together about helping us discover within ourselves that contentment, that confidence in Christ that Paul experienced, by helping us recognize our total dependency on the Lord, and by taking hold of that assurance that we can do all things through him who gives us strength. So over this holiday period, let's make a fresh start, if needs be, to commit to being in the presence of God each day, to rejoice at the opportunities that he gives us, to take refreshment in him, and to remember above all that he goes with us and he will never leave us. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this summer season, for times of refreshment and rest, so that we can be renewed in body and soul and spirit. Thank you for opportunities to step away from the hustle and bustle of a workaday week, to simply take time to rest in you. Lord, it was you who reminded your disciples that they needed times of rest from the stresses and the strains of the day, and you showed them by your own example how to find strength and refreshment in prayerful communion with our God, with God our Father. If we're fortunate enough to be going away this summer, Lord, help us not to forget that just because we're away from our normal routines, we don't go away from you. Keep close to us, Lord. Remind us that our relationship with you should never take a break. May this summer be a blessing to us, wherever we may be, whether we're home or away. And may our hearts overflow with your joy and peace. Help us to use this time to grow in our discipleship, to nurture or recover those patterns of discovery that will deepen our relationship with you and strengthen our faith. For we know that in all things we do it through him who gives us strength. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen.